Jesus is on trial in the text that we're going to read, or has been on trial. Actually, he's leaving one trial, going to another one. Luke chapter 22, let's read a few verses there first of all, and then we're going to chapter 23. Luke 22 and verse number 67, they ask a question. This is before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish people. Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. If you want to know why the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified more than anything else, because he claimed to be the Christ, the Son of God. This is the end of the trial before the Sanhedrin. In chapter 23 and verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. This is the Roman representative there in Jerusalem. He is the power of Rome. He has the power to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ or to let him go free. So he's gone from one trial to a second one. The Jewish people, while they could find him guilty and demand that he die, they could not kill him. They did not have the authority to. Jesus told the disciples he must go up to Jerusalem and there he would be condemned by his own people and, of course, by the Romans, and that they would crucify him, they would kill him, but the third day he would rise again. It's happening, as recorded by Luke in these verses. He's headed for the judgment of Pilate. Chapter 7, the same chapter. As soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, now this is Pilate, as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod. Himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Now he's going to another trial. Tried before the Sanhedrin. Tried before Pilate. Tried also before Herod. Verse 9 says, then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. While he spoke to the Jewish people and said, I am indeed the Christ, he would not even answer Herod's questions. Chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. The same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Verse 14, same chapter. Pilate said unto them, you've brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Not guilty, no fault. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For a necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. Just a Roman custom. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Let's go now to verse 25. And I'm reading just part of this because I've got to get to the main part of the message, but this is very important that you know the background of this. And he released unto them him that was for sedition and murder was cast into prison. That would be Barabbas, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Go to verse number 32. There were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. This is Luke's account of the trial and events leading up to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my message I'll give you now is God's Witness. All through the scriptures, the Bible teaches this, that God never leaves himself without a witness. Sometimes they're called a remnant. But I want you to look at this scene this morning and try to reason and understand what's going on here. Two malefactors were to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, one on the right hand, the other on the left. That verse 34 reads thus, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a staggering statement. That's a staggering revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his person, who he was. As they were nailing him to the cross, preparing to lift him up between heaven and earth, he's praying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him and came to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. We have the people standing and watching. We have the rulers deriding him. If he be Christ, let him save himself. We have the soldiers saying practically the same thing. If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself, come down from the cross. And we have one of the malefactors repeating the same theme, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Three groups of people accusing the Lord and demanding that he prove himself. But then we read in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, don't you understand? You're being crucified too. You'll shortly be in eternity. Don't you fear God? In verse 41, he said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This is God's witness. There's none of the people that are defending the Lord. There's none of the rulers that are defending the Lord. There's none of the soldiers that are defending the Lord. The one who's being hanged with him is not defending the Lord. He's making demands of him. Save us if you're the Christ. But one man. Dost not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. You're going to be dead in just a little while. They're going to break your legs. Read in John's record that they did break the legs shortly after the death of Christ. They broke the legs of the other two, and they, of course, died before sundown. But notice he says, and we indeed justly, both of us, deserve to die this terrible death, this judgment by the Roman government that we're not fit to live anymore. We're malefactors. That word has a strange meaning. We're evildoers. We've worked at stealing. It's been our occupation. It's been our job. We've loved doing it. We've worked at being a thief. And we justly deserve to die. But don't forget this last man. Also says this man hath done nothing amiss. That means he's done nothing deserving of this judgment. He's done no evil. As Peter declares in 1 Peter, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. He never reviles against those who are yelling at him. But he submitted himself unto him that was able to judge righteously. He submitted himself to God. God help us to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. They took him to Calvary. This is a word from the Latin language, which means the same thing as Golgotha in the Hebrew. The skull means the same thing in Greek, cranion, the place of a skull. There was a mound there that evidently was in the shape of a man's head. And it was on top of this skull, this mound of earth, that they crucified those judged worthy of being crucified. It was a place right outside the walls of Jerusalem where people had to pass by to get into the city. It was an open place so everyone would see the power of the Roman government, the judgment of the Roman government against thieves and murderers and evildoers, malefactors. We also know from the scriptures in Isaiah 53 verse 9, that his death would be with the rich and with the wicked. His grave, he'd make his grave with the wicked and with the rich. We also know from Genesis 22 that they would part his garments, which we read to you, rather than throw them away. That robe was woven within and without. It couldn't be separated except they tear it and they ripped it apart, each one taking a piece. Everything that happened here was according to the will of God, written long before it happened. It was not a surprise. The rulers derided him, if he be the chosen of God. The soldiers mocked him, offering vinegar to drink. I preached on that a few weeks ago in Psalm 69, David prophesied they would do this very thing. They would offer him vinegar to drink in his passion and his suffering. If thou be the Christ, save thyself. One malefactor out of all of this mob of people. One malefactor becomes a witness to the truth of what's going on here. God's witness, is a malefactor. He's a man who judged himself worthy of death. He should die because of what he's done. He's wasted his life. How could he do that? That's what I want you to think about this morning. How did God provide himself a witness in the midst of all this mob of people who were crying for his death, mocking him and saying, you can't be the Christ? Look at the situation that this man went through. First of all, he rebuked the other thief for demanding Jesus to come down from the cross and save him as well as himself. What happened here? We read the other Gospels and it indicates that earlier in this process, he was in the group that was mocking and making fun of the Lord. But think about what he has just seen. And think about what he has just heard. And maybe you'll understand what has happened to this man. What change come into his life that he would say these things. They were both guilty. They both were justly condemned to die. But this man said, I know I'm guilty. What's the message of the gospel? Repent and believe the gospel. Take your place. Know what you are. Know what you need. Is he doing that? When he said, we indeed justly. I've wasted my life. I'm worthy of death. But he does more than that. Remember, he heard something. He was laying there, no doubt, on the ground as they were driving the nails into the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. He was laying beside him, experiencing the same thing. And he heard the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He heard that. His testimony is simple. In verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I don't want you to deliver me right now. I deserve what I'm getting. But I know there's more to life than this life. I know it's just going to be a little while before the sun sets. I'm going to be dead. And he said, Lord, I would read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God. You wonder how this man could be saved. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Except you be born from above, except you be born again, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. Here's a man saying, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. The Spirit of God is on him to make him call Jesus Lord. He's understood, even though he's laying there being crucified, he prays that prayer, and the man knows he has a kingdom beyond this life. This is not the end of this man, Jesus. And he just says, remember me. Simple prayer. Remember my few words where I tried to recognize before you and before this mob, I deserve to die. I'm a sinner. I deserve what I'm getting. Remember my few words where I declared that you were not worthy of this injustice. Remember when I recognize that you've done nothing amiss. You're a righteous person. right hand, the left hand, two malefactors. I'll state it again. First of all, the rulers mocking and making fun of him, claiming, if thou be the Christ. The soldiers, same song. The other man joins in with the same song. If thou be the Christ, save us. Against the demands and the doubts of the rulers and the soldiers and the other thief, here's a man that stands out as God's witness. God never leaves himself without a witness, even at the cross. We don't see the apostles there because the scriptures had foretold that smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. The only one there we record in John was the apostle John. When Jesus committed his mother to the care of John the apostle. Where's Peter? I'll go with you even unto death, he said. But we don't see Peter. He followed for a while afar off until the Lord turned and looked upon him. Then he went out and he wept bitterly. Where's all those followers that have followed him? Where's all the people that he's healed? We know this is for the purpose of God that he suffer alone. I understand that. But here's one man out of a multitude that something has happened to him. What happened to him? Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. This man's in trouble, and he knows it. He's going to be dead in just a little while. He can't escape. He can't come down from the cross. He can't get away from the Roman government. Jesus also said in Luke 13, except you repent, you'll all perish. The gospel demands repentance. Did the man repent? It's obvious he repented. He was never baptized. He never saw a single miracle. He never followed the Lord during the days of earthly ministry. Like so many did. Where are all they? Well, I know it's the purpose of God, but again, God never leaves himself without a witness. He has one here. And what a witness. What an example. How touching this is. One who recognizes he's a sinner, he needs to die, he's worthy of it. One that recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ as sinless, he doesn't deserve to die. But he recognizes that this life is not all, that there's more to this, and Jesus Christ claimed to be the Christ, and he claimed to be the Son of God, and he has this title over his head, which the thief can see. This is the King of the Jews. And through the things that he sees, the things that he hears, it brings him to this. Lord, what happens in salvation? What happened when the Lord saved you? You put all your reasonings, all your religious thoughts, all your good works, you set them aside and you say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Do you see his faith? I do. Hanging over eternity, in a sense, hanging between heaven and earth, just a few short hours from death, waiting till his legs be broken that he might die before sundown. Remember Paul's message to the Philippian jailer. It was in more or less the same condition when he came into the jail and he asked Paul the question, Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? What was the simple answer that Paul gave him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What is this thief doing? How can he call him Lord unless something has been revealed to him, unless the Spirit of God has made him call out, Lord, remember me. What's he trusting in? Is he trusting in his baptism? Is he trusting in his good works? Is he trusting in doing better? What's he trusting in? He's trusting in the man hanging between heaven and earth. He's trusting that he is indeed who he claimed to be. He's the Christ. He's a king. He's got a kingdom. And he says, Lord, let me be a part of it. Remember me. Turn with me to John chapter 6 and read these few verses. Sixth chapter of John, Jesus is preaching here to the people. John chapter 6 and verse 39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Now apply that to the thief. How could he say to the Lord, remember me? Who did he belong to? This is the Father's will which has sent me, of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What did the thief recognize? This life is not really what matters. It's how you die. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. You make the judgment. Did he see the Son? They were screaming, if you're the Christ, you come down. They demanded his death. They were crucifying him. They didn't see the Son. They mocked the Son. They mocked his testimony. They mocked his word. But this man says, Lord, remember me. He saw him as who he was. That's what salvation is. Recognizing that Jesus Christ is your Lord. He owns you. You belong to him. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. This thief had to believe in a resurrection. Lord, remember me. I'm going to die. They're going to break my legs. I'll die before sunset, but remember me when I'm raised from the dead. Turn back one page to John 5, 24. Verily, verily, this is the words of Jesus Christ. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, that still affects me. It ought to affect a person who has some understanding of what's going on here. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't hold it against them. Forgive them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5, 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, Lord, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That man was changed, hanging between heaven and earth. He received a new life. The Spirit of God was on him because he called Jesus Lord. No man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12. Back in John 6, just one other passage. Verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Let me ask you a question. Do you think he's being drawn? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, even as he's dying, suffering the wrath of God for our sins, suffering pain that is indescribable, is he drawing this man? And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, did he hear? And hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Lord, remember me. So simple. So touching. But so true. So effective in this man's life. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ hanging between heaven and earth, knowing he was going to die in just a few hours. The only hope he had was this man. But what a hope. Now look at the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ as we bring the message to a close. In verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How'd you like to have that assurance? If you're saved, you can have it. If you're lost, you can have it if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of things can take us out of this life. Suddenly, unexpectedly. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let me ask you to make a judgment. Did Christ hear his cry? Did he respond to it in a positive way? He told this man. And remember what all this man saw. He saw the Lord Jesus die. He heard the Lord Jesus cry out, my God, my God. He was right beside him. Why hast thou forsaken me? He heard him later say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He heard all of that. The rulers may deride him. The soldiers may mock him. The other thief may beg for him to come down and deliver him from the cross. But God's witness leaves a great testimony for time and eternity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all he could do. He couldn't do any works for the Lord. He couldn't be baptized. But I'll tell you what he could do. We read it in John. He saw the Son. He knew who he was. And he trusted him. That's what the gospel message is. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself and us. No. God's witness simply cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus gave him assurance. Before he died, the man watched him die. He heard his cry when he commended his spirit to God. He heard him cry out, why had God forsaken him? And then he heard Jesus Christ. First of all, he said, Father, forgive them. Then he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he cried out, Father. You see, he went from Father to God to Father. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. It couldn't be declared any simpler. That's why I titled this God's Witness. Even in death, Jesus Christ saved a man while he was dying. You think he don't have the power to save you? He was dying. He was suffering. He would shortly die, but he took the time to hear the cry of a man who was condemned rightly. He was a sinner. He deserved hell. But he heard the cry, and he answered the cry in such a way that when they come to break his legs, his fear was gone. He had the assurance, I'm going out to see the Lord. He promised me, you'll be with me in paradise. The other thief had to die in uncertainty, in terror, with no fear of God. But the fear of God brought this man to the end of himself and turned him to another person. And what a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's our message. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for